I'm going to share, frankly, a quick little sermonette here. Are you ready? Giving thanks. Is that appropriate for the time? Giving thanks, the key to just about everything. I just want to throw in my two cents about a principle of giving thanks. And look at this Luke 17:11. This is an interesting story in the Bible. We've all heard it before. It came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, they met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. You know, there's a rule that if you're a leper, you had to stand far off from people and you had to yell that you're unclean. And they lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests, which was basically, and there are many scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about leprosy. And in the act of the healing of that, you would go to show yourselves to the priest so he could determine what degree it's healed, what degree you needed to be sequestered away from others and that kind of thing. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, it says, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, one of the 10, when he saw he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He shouted, and he went all the way back to Jesus, fell down to his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? There are not found that came to return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. It is interesting. There's a direct and applied command. Christ said, go, show yourselves to the priest. You know what he really meant? Come back to me when you're healed. See, isn't that interesting? He said, go, show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were healed. What he really wanted was them to stop and come back and to give thanks. Isn't that interesting? Because he said, where are the other 9? The other 9 said, well, we're just doing what you said, was go show yourself to the priest. Yeah, but something happened on the way that you encountered a touch, a healing, a supernatural encounter with God, and right, that ought to do something to you. The purpose, one of the things, the manifestation of an encounter with God, I talked about this Friday night, it brings glory to God. Supernatural signs and wonders bring glory and manifest the life of Jesus. And so the response to the glory is to give thanks, to praise Him, to recognize where it came from, the hand of the Lord. It was supernatural healing. Leprosy was not something that often was instantly healed. So, you know, I wrote here in my notes, unfortunately, even today, only about 10% of believers get it. And about only 1 out of 10 came back. I really believe only about 10% today really get it. Because so many people, folks, have walked around with these types of things. Let me see if anybody can relate. Fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, hopelessness, regret, self-pity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know anyone that struggles with any of those things? You don't even know anybody that struggles with those things? Okay. I believe the root problem behind all of that, if you're born again, is you're not giving thanks. Because giving thanks, folks, is a proactive, it's an offensive weapon in the warfare. It's a spiritual warfare weapon. The enemy comes out to steal and kill and destroy and snuff out our witness, you know, snuff out our candle. And the greatest weapon you have is to give thanks to the Lord in the midst of everything. To give thanks. It's easy. It's not difficult. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with what? That's how you begin to praise, into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving, you know, really, there's a protocol of praise. You know, deep worship, deep adoration, deep getting in the very inner court with God. You know, that's the end. The beginning starts out with giving thanks. You're never going to get anywhere in the courts of the Lord pressing into the presence of the Lord till you give thanks to your situation. In your situation. That's interesting. You may not need to give thanks for it, but you can give thanks in it. You hear what I said? I mean, let's say a tragedy happens. I'm not going to thank God for the tragedy. I'm going to thank God, you ready, in the tragedy. Because God can turn all things around for the good. We live in a world of free will. People make choices, and some choices bring devastation, calamity, and catastrophe. I don't thank God for catastrophe, but I can thank God, you ready, in catastrophe. I can trust Him that He is maybe not a preventer, but He's a redeemer. God didn't come to prevent, He came to redeem. If he'd come to prevent, he'd had an angel stand before Adam and Eve said, do not touch that tree. Right? But he's never prevented free will. He never will. But he's a redeemer. He created a race and he said, I'm God and I want to fellowship with somebody. When you're God, it's hard to find somebody else. When you're God. When you're the only being in the universe. Well, of course, it's a mystery because God really did have fellowship with himself. How many of y'all know God is not like we understand? God is not one. Did you know God is a triumvirate, a trinity, a family, a dynamic, a community within himself? Did you know that? God is not what we conceive him to be. God is beyond the conception of who and what. We can't conceive of who God is. The revelation in scripture is he manifested himself in personalities and persons of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't understand what that means. I mean, we could say, I'm not a Unitarian, I'm a Trinitarian, I believe in the Trinity and the Father, Son. Come on, give me a break. Do you really understand what it means that God is one in three in one? No. We don't have a clue. When we get to heaven and we see or conceive of God, we understand that we knew nothing back here. Eye is not seen. Ears, that's not even entered the heart of man. We not cannot conceive beyond. It's like we are the beginning of the knowledge of God is at the shore of the eternal sea. We're way out in the desert. All right? But nevertheless, this being, this incredible being called God, who is the beginning and the end, the outcome, the source, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, somebody says the origin, the operator, and the outcome. That we, to him to whom we all will have to do, to him we all will stand naked before one day and be held accountable for every thought, every word, every emotion, every response. We're all going to be held accountable. Last verse of Ecclesiastes says that many places. But this God wanted fellowship. So he created, apparently, this is my belief, a race of beings, and there was problems. A third of them turned away. So he then created a planet and a man in his image. And he gave that man free will. And he brought a woman and he said, look, you can eat all the trees, just don't eat that one. Now why would he do that? I really believe that God, my two cents, is that he was training him to take care of the Garden of Eden. Because I don't think the fall was inevitable. I don't think it was God's will that he fell. Do you believe that? I don't. I think he wanted to train him, and then he would have expanded the perimeters of Eden. He'd have gone further and further where ultimately man and woman and their race would rule over a paradise, paradisical world with no fall. There'd still be that tree though. I bet you somebody at some point go around that thing. Who here probably would have blown it for all of us? Okay. Maybe that's what Eve thought. Let me just get this thing over with, you know. But to this day, man still has free will. I studied something fascinating once about Hitler. Hitler was a corporal in the First World War fighting in off. And he was behind the lines and he got gassed. Now there was a lot of mustard gas used in World War I. And he was in an infirmary tent for several weeks, very close to death. Later in prison, when he wrote Mein Kampf in the early 20s, which was the exact treatise of what he would do, he spoke about this in Mein Kampf, what occurred. He said, I was very close to death. And in that moment where he was close to death, a voice came to him and said, you are to be the Messiah of Germany. Now we know why, when this man was close to death, this man who would ultimately be the source, you ready, of 50 million deaths, one man. Hitler's choices brought 50 million people to die in World War II. And here he is covering to death. Why didn't God send an angel and go poof and kick him over the edge? Wouldn't that have made sense? Knock him dead. No World War II. Yeah, you know, God won't violate free will. For all we know, he had a grandma praying for him. Right? Do you know God was hoping to the end that Hitler would repent? You know, God's not willing that any man should perish. Hell is a horrible nightmare thing. So anyway, God created this notion of free will, and it's still there. We are determining every day our destiny, our eternal destiny, based upon our free will. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 10 says, where the tree falls, there it lays. Have you ever seen that verse? What does that mean? Where the tree falls out. In other words, if you drop a tree down and it happens to fall, that's where it's going to go. And all of the growth of the forest and whatever happens in years later will be the result of where that tree fell. We make a choice in life. We will see at the end of our life, our life is a result of a life of choices. Did you know that you are today the result of your choices? Economically, relationally, morally, spiritually, physically, you are the result of your choices. I have an older brother. I'm 50, almost 56. He's about 59. Bright kid. Sharp. I come from a family, a dad of engineers. And I have two younger brothers who are both attorneys, done well with life. My older brother drove a truck up till about 2 years ago. Finally got him a degree, graduated at 57. Praise God, I'm proud of him. But it's tough to get a first entry-level job at 57, particularly in the IT world. He did. He's in southern Mississippi. There isn't a lot of IT down there. He got him a job. You know what I thought? My brother, unfortunately, squandered the possibilities of his life because he got into a cult in the 60s and drugs and got it busted and got in a weird cult all these years and made choices. And today, he is a result of a lifetime of choices. Now, you know what? He's providing, he's making it, he's surviving, but it's unfortunate. Well, you know what's unfortunate is when opportunity knocks at the door or the window, you go to the back of the house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? A lot of times opportunity knocks. This is just the way life is. And some of us don't want to be bothered. There's a scripture that says drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. The slothful desires it has nothing. Profit and plenteousness is to the diligent. He that sleeps in harvest shall suffer much hunger. There's a lot in scripture about making right choices. Now, the good news is this. You may have made sloppy choices all your life. Bad choices. Relational. Educational. In industry. In your choices of your business. And your choices of your unwise choices. You know what? Here's the good news. Wherever you are, if you'll stop and repent, God can redeem the later years. Like Sherry was saying. Wherever you are, if you'll simply stop and repent and say, okay, Jesus, I don't want the latter years to be like the former. You know what the definition of insanity is? Insanity is to continue to do the same thing you've always done and expect a different result. Amen? You've got to repent and turn around, and that's really the key to everything, I believe, is to give thanks. When you begin to give thanks in the midst, I'm going to tell you a story about Jonah. Jonah was swallowed up in the world's first submarine, you know, cruising down in a horrible nightmare situation. Read about it in Jonah 2. Slimy, messy, acid-ridden. Blech. Can you imagine the horror? Listen. When Jonah actually gave thanks, read about it in Jonah 2. When he gave thanks, he said, I'll offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Listen, God spoke to the fish. Puke him out. Blech. I bet that fish was glad to get him out. How many of y'all would like God to speak to your situation to puke you out? How many of y'all, that thing's been taking you around? You've been swallowed up and you're living in an environment of misery and torment. He calls it the belly of hell. Christ himself likened it to hell when he spoke of Jonah. How many of y'all would like to get out of that situation? I'm going to tell you the secret. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. To give thanks in it. Not for it, in it. Lord, I thank you. You are faithful. You are God. You are Lord. I am a victim of my own choices. Jonah was in there because of his own rebellious, stubborn, hard-headed willfulness. Does anybody relate? And so he's sitting, suffering the consequences. And God's faithful. There is a law of the universe. You only reap what you want. That's the way it works. It's the law of the universe. The good news, praise God, he's not a preventer. He's a redeemer. If you'll stop and turn around, humble yourself. Humility is the key. Humble yourself. Jesus, for God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Lord, forgive me. You know, that's hard to say, I have made a lifetime of bad choices. My life, all that I am and was and were and will be and thought, and it's all to be, it is filthy rags. All of my righteousness are filthy rags. You know, when God has someone repent like that in a later part of their life, there is great grace on those remaining years. It's hard for people to get like that. People get so hard-headed and stubborn, they somehow believe there was something good of all their choices. Look at the fruit. Are you hearing me this morning? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Just a few more verses. I want you to see this one. This is the will of God. Someone says, I want to know what the will of God in my life is. Here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 5:18. Don't get any clearer than this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Every other will of God is subordinate to this. If you really want to know what God's will is in your life, start here. Look at Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17, same thing. It says here, listen, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to hear something interesting? How many have struggled submitting? How many have struggled to submit to authority? Right? How many wives struggle submitting to your husband? How many husbands, he points to his wife, how many husbands have struggled submitting to your maybe authority at work? Bosses. How many kids have struggled submitting to your parents? I have the answer. It's right here. Look at verse 20. I'm telling you, have you ever seen this connection? Look at verse 20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, how many husbands have difficulty loving your wives? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are y'all getting the message? You know what? If you're having difficulty doing any of this, you know what the key is? What is the key? To give thanks in everything. In the midst of it, to give thanks, to quit griping and complaining and moaning and getting mad at God and wondering. And look, it may be, listen, your situation may not have been right in the center of the target of God's will. It may be that you made a mistake or you made a bad choice. You know, I was hearing not long ago about a lady who had had a child out of wedlock, which is pretty common, and was tempted. All of her friends would tempting her, encouraging her to abort the child. Now, this woman wasn't even saved. And, you know, that's so common today. Isn't that sad? Kill it. It's murder, folks. The first demon I ever cast out of anybody in the 80s was a demon of murder that came out of a woman. It screamed its name murder as it came out, and it came in when she had an abortion. You can't tell me that thing's other than wicked. Well, it turned out this woman did not abort the child, okay, had the child, and ended up, subsequently got saved and got married, and then the story was about what an incredible blessing this child was to the family, to us. In other words, God redeemed the thing. God redeemed this. Come back in, amen. She made a bad choice, okay, but God redeemed it. She didn't yield to the, God is a redeemer, praise God. You want to know, in the Bible, Jesus' genealogy? Have you ever looked at Jesus' genealogy? Okay, he had a couple of cool people, yeah, but he had a murderer, David. What was the lady in Rahab, a prostitute? I mean, Paul even says in Hebrews 11, God, about Rahab, James talks about her too. She is honored. You know, Jesus, when he encountered a prostitute, everybody else wanted to throw rocks at her. Remember that? Anybody remember that story? They just was, oh, I can't believe all the religious. I can't believe this woman. Ha 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 ha. Because it's interesting. It never was the guy, you know. I mean, it do take two to tango, but it was always the girl, you know. Ha ha. And they were ready to kill. You know, in the eyes of the Lord, you know what is even a whole lot more wicked than the sins of the flesh? Is self-righteousness and pride and arrogancy and judgmentalism. I'm telling you what, in the eyes of the Lord, that is high-level wickedness. And I've noticed those people have a difficult time repenting. How many of y'all have a witness to somebody that's just really caught up in the flesh? A drunk. Or someone that's really... By the way, if you get a homosexual off alone... Okay, alone, away from his friends. Sometimes he's easier to reach. You know, any time you talk to a homosexual under the, you know, under the grace and not condemning them, but testifying of the gospel. Look, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be some assent that there's something wrong. But there's some scripture in Proverbs that says when arms are linked together, we can be abominable in wickedness. It's in numbers that they delude themselves that this is righteous. Now look at Colossians 3:15. You see the same thing. Same principle. It's almost parallel. Colossians 3:15. I want you to know the prerequisite for submission, for doing all the right things in relationships. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you call in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace to your heart. So doesn't that sound like the verse we just read? Now look at this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What do we see there? What is the key? Give thanks. Look at the very next verse. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is the will of well-pleasing the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest you be discouraged. Masters, obey in all things. No, servants. Obey in all things your masters, employers. And verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Again, we see a prerequisite for relational issues boiled down, folks, to giving thanks. What am I saying here? We're going to look at one more verse and be over. Giving thanks has got to be the most important principle of all. And it's often the most difficult. Because there's something whispering in our ear to whine and complain and murmur and gripe, self-pity, you know, or regret or guilt or shame, whatever! And it's just from Satan, because he knows, if you can generally say, Lord, I don't like it. And it's okay not to like it. Okay? Be honest. I don't like it. It's miserable. I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. But Lord, I give you thanks. I praise you and I honor you. And here's the real kicker. You ready? This is the real discipleship prayer. This will get you through anything. You ready? This is the secret. Lord, I ask you not to change the circumstance until you change me. Whoa, dude. I mean, that gets God kind of out on the edge of his chair. Somebody down here saying, Lord, I ask you not to change the people, places, and things. Change me. Use these things, okay? Use these things as what's necessary to break and crush me. Because guess what God uses for your sanctification? You ready? People, places, and things around you. Amen? If we had our way, we would live in a rubber room. You know, eating rubber against the wall. No sharp edges, wouldn't we? Iron sharpens iron, forget it. We'd like cotton bumps against cotton. We don't like suffering and affliction and trials. But that's how you grow up. That's how you mature. And as long as you're ungrateful, folks, you're dragging it out. You'll swim down there in the currents for a long time inside of that fish. How many of y'all sick of being in the fish? Come on, you would really like God. It's interesting, God spoke to the fish. Isn't that interesting? There's a verse that says God spoke to fish. Wasn't the first time. I think Jesus probably told that fish to pick up that coin. Or maybe told them to come over to the right side of the boat. I don't know. But there's precedent for God speaking to fish. God spoke to a fish. Fish probably swim, what? And God said, spit it out with relish. Now, the last place, let me give you the secret to close. 1 Corinthians 14:13. You say, but Chris, I hear you, but there are times I can't find it within me to give thanks. There are times I want to do it, but it's the hardest thing. I've just got a stronghold of resentment. Better than I'm fighting this. Okay, here's the answer. If you're stuck in that place, I've got the solution. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Last place we're going to look. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 14:13. This is wonderful. God's made it so easy for you. Listen, guys, because this is such a powerful principle. He says, wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Folks, I have been praying in tongues every day since August 24th, 1971, except for about a week. About 2 weeks after I got it, I lost it for about a week. Crazy. I don't know how you lose tongues, but I did. So I had to go back to Slidell and find a guy that prayed for me. No, the head of the prayer meeting, there's two little old Catholic charismatic ladies prayed for me. And he prayed for me, and I started speaking tongues again. That was probably about second week of September of 71. I've spoken tongues every day since. Now, that's a long time. How long is that? 81, 91? 36 years. Every day. You're going to tell me speaking in tongues ain't of the Lord? I'll tell you what, speaking in tongues is one of the greatest, some people call it it's the least gift. Well, if you're faithful with the least, look at this. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding also. In other words, folks, the wonderful thing about speaking in tongues is it's you pray in the Spirit, and then it clears your head out. Then you can pray with the understanding with your mind. You sing in the Spirit, and you can sing with your mind. Now, I'm going to tell you, after all 36 years of speaking in tongues, to this day, I still don't know what I'm saying. I was speaking in tongues earlier today. I was singing in tongues and speaking in tongues. This morning in my quiet time, I spoke in tongues. I still don't know. After 36 years, I still don't know what I'm saying. You'd think, well, gosh, after all those years, you don't know what you're saying. You think you'd stop. Oh, no, I'm not going to stop because of the next verse. The next verse gives the secret. Else, when you shall bless with the Spirit. Is that how your versions read? Is that what it says? I'm going to tell you right now, when I speak in tongues, I am blessing God. 1 Corinthians 12 says, we are calling him Lord. We are exalting his Lordship. We're blessing him. We're speaking. Early in this chapter, he says, you're speaking mysteries. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men or what? You speak angelically. You're actually speaking languages of angels. Did you know angels have different languages? I've heard them. I've heard the voice of an angel. Demons have their own languages too. Pretty guttural and evil. The angelic have beautiful languages. I actually have a MP3 file that someone taped of angels singing. It's an amazing file. You might want to email me. It's a lady in a small little church somewhere, and you can hear her singing in tongues over the piano, and it's amazing. Behind you hear this. You have to listen carefully. A chorus of angelic beings. Yeah, I've listened, I think, several times. Somebody finally got it on tape. It's happened. How many of y'all have experienced anything like that? Else when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your, look at this, giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say. Verse 17, for you verily give thanks well. Do you see that? When you speak in tongues, you are giving thanks well. And he says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. The apostle Paul understood, when I speak in tongues, I give thanks. Did you know that? Study it sometime. In Jude, it says, praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. You build up your faith. You're giving thanks. You're blessing God. You're speaking in angelic language. Sometimes speaking in the languages of man. I bet I've opened the pulpit. We can have a lot of testimonies of that. Those who have been charismatic, speaking in tongues for many years, have a testimony of that kind of thing. When it started out, it was like that. Remember, they spoke in tongues and Acts, and men from different nationalities heard them speaking their own languages. You're giving thanks, you're praising, and guys, you're speaking mysteries, it says. You're speaking mysteries. Now, Jesus said it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I think when you speak the mysteries, God reveals the mysteries. The riddles, the dilemmas, the confusions, he makes things clear in the spirit. But best of all, folks, you give thanks. Well, I want us, in conclusion, to do that. Let's respond to the word today. Come on, let's do that. Close your Bible. You can stay seated. Stay seated. Just stay seated. Praise God. Let's just respond to the Lord right now. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for being ungrateful and childish, demanding, petty, when you've done so much and you will do so much. You're just trying to grow me up. I make a commitment today. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will give thanks unto the Lord for all the bounty towards me. I choose to thank you in the midst of all going on in my life. I may not understand it, and sometimes I'm tired of it, but you're the Lord and I'm not. I'll trust you in all my ways, and I won't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'll acknowledge you, and I know you will direct my paths. So let's just begin to give thanks to the Lord right now. Come on. Thank him in English. If you don't speak in tongues, just thank him in English. Thank him with your understanding. And come up afterwards, we'll pray for you. Just pray to the Lord. Worship. Come on, give him thanks this morning. Give him thanks for specific things you haven't been thanking him for or in the midst of. Maybe you've just been really worried and anxious about a situation or personality or problem. Folks, and you don't understand, God wants to speak to that fish. Give thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. I'm not asking you to change. You just changed me. Up to this moment, I never recognized it was of you. You allowed it because you're trying to grow me up. But as of right now, I'm not going to be childish anymore. I'm going to give you thanks in it. I'm going to praise you and acknowledge you in it. You're using it to help me mature and be more Christ-like. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, thank you this morning. Thank him. Lord, we generally want to enter into a place of favor with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give me thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Gee, you youngsters, you kids, you can give thanks. Come on. You're never too early to learn this principle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A grateful heart is a blessed thing, a wonderful thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Gidea, Lord. Come on, worship him. Give thanks to the Lord this morning. Praise. Lone mo melenien yalamo lo maele tialo usi di aleni ane yalo eninien yesi ti karma. Don't listen to that voice of the enemy. Blow him away, man. Blow the enemy away. That old whiny voice. Blow it away. With praise and thanks to God the Father who loves you, has wonderful things for you. Holy Adi, he wants to entrust it to you once he can see he can trust you. Lo, it'd be pleasing to him in his sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray this week you'd open up our eyes to see the needs. To be bold, to step out of our comfort zone, Lord, to lay hands on the sick, Lord, to minister the truth, Lord, to stand up for righteousness, to suffer persecution for right's sake, O Lord. Lord, give us the courage, Lord, to be the kingdom of God this week to our family and friends and co-workers, people we see and meet, encounter. Give us boldness to step out of the comfort zone. And I pray you'd back us up. Lord, as we get out there, that you would back us up with the gifts of the Spirit and miracles and healing and signs and wonders and prophetic words and words of knowledge and anointing and prophetic. Come, Lord, back us up with power as we are faithful to draw nigh and do the right thing. We pray, Lord, back us up. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be faithful and pleasing with works of faith and acts of faith. For that is pleasing to you, Jesus. Shoto de biki andanama.